Welcome to today's deep dive. Imagine trying to fix an entire nation's economy by rewriting the rules of who can own a business, you know, who gets promoted, and literally who the government buys its paperclips from.
It is a massive undertaking, yeah.
Right. Well, our mission today is to examine a really foundational legal document. We're looking at South Africa's broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Act 53 of 2003.
Specifically analyzing the original Government Gazette text.
Exactly. We really want to understand this blueprint that was designed to restructure a whole nation's economy post-apartheid.
Okay, let's unpack this because, I mean, we really shouldn't look at this as just some dry legal text. It's essentially an economic rescue plan.
Yeah, it really is, because when you read the actual text, especially the preamble, it reads basically like a diagnosis of a systemic failure.
Right.
And, you know, it gives a prescription for how to fix it. The text explicitly states that under apartheid, race was used to control access to resources and skills, which obviously created a massive structural deficit. Like, the preamble actually notes the economy was performing way below its potential because the vast majority of people were just completely excluded from earning income and owning assets.
They were locked out, yeah.
So it's kind of like trying to win a Grand Prix with a V8 engine, but you're only running on two cylinders.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Right. Yeah. You can't just suddenly say, okay, everyone can play now.
Yeah.
Because excluding the majority meant the whole country was losing out on stability and prosperity.
What's fascinating here is how the act frames empowerment. You know, yes, there's the constitutional right to equality.
Sure.
But the legislation specifically positions this as a critical macroeconomic strategy.
Wow, really?
Yeah, the explicit goal is to promote a higher growth rate and increase employment overall. You simply cannot achieve long-term national economic stability if most of your population is intentionally locked out of the market.
Okay, so since just, like, throwing money at a few executives wouldn't solve a national economic crisis, the act had to define empowerment differently.
Exactly.
Which leads us directly to how it defines the term broad-based, because the text defines Black people generically as Africans, Coloreds, and Indians, which in South Africa is a specific legally defined demographic term.
Right.
But the broad-based part specifically targets women, workers, youth, people with disabilities, and even rural communities. But wait, let me push back a bit here.
Sure. Yeah.
Doesn't empowerment usually just mean, you know, handing over corporate shares to a few new owners? Does it actually go deeper than that?
Well, ownership is actually only one piece of the puzzle here. The definition of broad-based empowerment goes much further by mandating human resource and skills development.
Okay.
It calls for achieving equitable representation in skilled occupations and, this is key, requires preferential procurement.
Meaning they dictate who a company buys from.
Yes, exactly. Who they choose to buy everyday supplies and raw materials from. So it's not just about who owns the factory, it's about who manages it, who works the skilled jobs, and who supplies it.
Okay, but writing a broad definition down is one thing. How do they actually force a private company to care?
Mm-hmm.
Because moving from theory to practice is tough.
Oh, they built in the mechanisms. The act establishes an advisory council, and it's not just some low-level committee.
Who runs it?
It's chaired by the president.
Wow. The president.
The president. To force the issue. And it includes the Minister of Trade and Industry, other cabinet ministers, plus 10 to 15 members from trade unions, business, and academia.
So they mean business.
Oh, absolutely. Furthermore, it empowers the minister to issue codes of good practice.
Hmm.
And state organs literally must apply these codes when issuing licenses or handling procurement.
So what does this all mean?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, these codes force the private sector to comply. If they want to do business with the government, they have to play by the rules. If a private company wants to win a lucrative government contract, they have to prove they are meeting these broad-based empowerment targets.
Right. So they weaponize their own budget. That is wild. It leverages the massive purchasing power of the state to compel private market transformation.
Exactly.
It really showcases for you, the listener, how governments attempt to use legislative frameworks and procurement policies to engineer massive demographic shifts in the private sector.
Yeah, it's a huge structural intervention.
But it leaves you with a really fascinating question to think about. The act demands a substantial change in the racial composition of ownership and skilled occupations. But how does a nation actually measure the exact tipping point when an economy has officially been transformed? Something for you to mull over. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.